I like his style. He was anxious and ready to get to preach it. Amen. And so right now we're going to have Brother Nate come up, and why don't you come preach for us?
All right. Well, I guess you guys are already at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So we'll go ahead and we'll read these verses, then we'll jump right into the message God has for us this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech ye, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you, God. Thank you for all you've done. And Lord, I just ask that you be with us this morning. Pray your presence will be upon us, Lord. I pray you allow the Holy Spirit that lives within us to speak to our hearts, Lord. And I ask that you would bind up Satan and his workers of iniquity, Lord, and cast them out. Any strongholds they may have put in our heart or in our minds, Lord, may they be cast forth, that the Holy Spirit can penetrate those strongholds, Lord, and break those down and allow us to truly see your word and apply it in our life. God, I pray that we'll be able to understand and see the application that you have for us this morning. God, we love you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This whole passage here, God kind of brought it to my attention as I was already in college and already I knew where God would have me to be serving and things like that. But I was just doing my daily devotions and just trying to see what God would have for me. And he brought out just this one phrase at the very end of verse 15. It says, "And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." And that caught my attention because honestly, all growing up in my teenage years and different in my entire life, whenever somebody said, "Oh, so-and-so is addicted to," immediately our minds think, if they were to stop it there, immediately our minds think what? Of sin and of unrighteousness, immorality, of all those things. But it's neat to think that the one time God uses the word addicted, he uses it in a good way. Not that somebody was addicted to sin. Not that somebody was addicted to something else, some hobby or work or anything like that, but they were addicted to the ministry that God had for them. See, as I began to look at it, I realized as I studied out and did a word search on addicted, this is the only place that God uses this word addicted. He uses it for the ministry, for him. We need to be addicted to what God has for us here in this place. My wife and I, we need to be addicted to the ministry that God has for us in Spain. But God wants you to be addicted to the ministry that God has for you here through this church. We need to get addicted to what God wants us to be addicted to. I believe as you look down through here, we're going to read these verses again and kind of just talk our way through. But I believe these point out specifically, these allow us to see our life. If you're truly willing to look at your life and ask yourself, are you addicted to what God wants you to be addicted to? You'll be able to go down through these points as we look at them and truly tell and truly see if we're addicted to what God has for us or something else has our attention. If something in the world has pulled us in, maybe a hobby or sports or work or whatever it may be, maybe a relationship has pulled us away from what God wants us to be addicted to. Are we addicted to the things God has for us? Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. It says, "Watch ye, watch ye." I believe if we're truly going to get addicted to the ministry that God has for us, we need to be looking for the next opportunity to do those things. For instance, if we're going to be doing the great commission, going all into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, if we're going to be doing that, then we need to be looking for the next opportunity to witness to somebody. Whether it's at a gas station, whether it's at the pharmacy, whether it's at the grocery store, wherever it may be. But if we're addicted to the ministry God has for us, are we looking for that next opportunity to witness to somebody? How many people have we walked by, not handed out a tract, or thought we were too busy, or they were too busy, and for some reason didn't stop them, talk to them, or pass out a tract? Are we truly addicted to what God has for us? Are we truly looking for that next opportunity to witness? If you turn over to Acts chapter 20, and in verse 31, Paul writes, he says, "Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Listen, just from that one verse, I believe Paul was looking for the next opportunity to witness. You know, I would even dare say he was addicted to the very ministry that God had for him. He was looking for lost souls. Are we watching for those around us that are destined for hell, that are on their way to hell? Are we looking for that opportunity that God will give us to witness to these people? See, Paul writes here, he says in verse 31, he says, "By the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day." Now, at night, most people are sleeping. There's probably not too many people out. But you know, I believe during the daytime, he was witnessing to people. He was telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But then at nighttime, when everybody else was sleeping, when everybody else was going to bed or doing whatever they do at night, Paul was willing, I believe, to stay up and pray and ask God. I believe that's where the tears come in. He was praying and asking God to work in the people's hearts that he was going to meet the next day, that he had already met that day, that God would soften their heart and allow them to see their need for a Savior. But Paul was willing night and day with tears to warn people. Are we looking for that next opportunity to tell someone of the Lord Jesus Christ? To pass out a tract, some way, somehow, get them the gospel? Are we looking for that opportunity? Also, we see in verse 13, it says, "Stand fast in the faith." And I believe this has two areas here, speaking of our faith. Obviously, the first one to me was stand fast in the faith that we put in Jesus Christ. Because it's going to be hard if we're trying to get addicted to the ministry and we're striving to look for that next opportunity to tell somebody of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be hard to witness to them and tell them of eternal security when we're unsure of it ourselves. Stand fast in the faith. I had a friend that went off to Bible college, and for the freshman orientation class, the requirement was that each one had to come up and give their testimony, give their testimony before the entire class. And he said out of some 200, possibly 250 people, he said there were only three that said they were saved at a young age and never doubted it. Listen, if you doubt it this morning, get it settled. Because if we're going to get addicted to the ministry that God has for us, then we need to not only be watching for the next opportunity to witness, but we need to stand fast in the faith that we put in Jesus Christ. Also, not just standing fast in the faith that we put in Jesus Christ, but standing fast in the faith of God's Word. Do we believe what God's Word says is true? Listen, God's Word is filled with promises. For instance, in Psalms 47 and in verse 3, I believe it is, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Listen, if you truly want the desires of your heart to be accomplished, just listen to God's word and be obedient to it. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." That's a promise from God. And then I think of constantly, my life verse is James chapter 4, verse 8. The very beginning says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Man, that's an amazing promise that if we're willing to come to God, he's willing to come to us, meet our needs, and provide for us and help us. But do we stand fast in the faith of God's word? Do we believe what God's word says is true? I'm reminded of the story in the word of God where it speaks of Joshua. Joshua just got put over the nation of Israel. Moses is off the scene now. And Joshua, they're coming up to after wandering around for 40 years, they come up to the River Jordan once again to cross over and claim the promised land. This land was already promised to them the first time they came up to it. But they rejected God and what God had for them at that time, and God made them wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. So now this next generation is coming up, and Joshua is sitting with God, and God is speaking to him and telling him exactly how he wants him to cross over the River Jordan. And Joshua takes the word of God that he received from God, and he takes it to the people, and he explains to the people exactly how it's going to happen. They're not going to cross over by boats. They're not going to build a bridge. What they were going to do is the priests were going to get the ark of God, and they were going to step out into the water. And God said when they stepped into the water, that the river would part, and that the entire nation would be able to walk over on dry ground. That was God's plan. If someone came into the church and told us that, I don't think there'd be too many people following that guy. But the Bible tells us that when the day approached, the day came, Joshua got up, he prepared himself, got the priest ready, and then in verse 17, I forget the chapter that it's in, but it says the people came out of their tents. So I believe the people came out of their tents, not necessarily to cross over the Jordan River, but I believe the people came out to see if what Joshua said was the word of God would come true. If Joshua truly believed the word of God, truly believed that God was going to part the Jordan River just by simply having the priest there. But you know what? God told him, in doing this, Joshua, I will magnify you in the eyes of the people. But when that happened, not only was Joshua magnified in the eyes of the people, but God was glorified in it all. You know what? I believe today, there are people all around us, whether neighbors, co-workers, strangers, people at a restaurant, at a gas station, wherever they may be. I believe there's people coming out of their tents. They know we're Christians. They know we go to church. They know we read the God's word. But do we believe it? Do we believe the promises of God that they can come true in our lives? Do we believe that what God's word says is true will happen? So my wife and I, we plan on going on January 31st. That was the date that God placed on our heart to go to Spain when we started deputation. There's been some hard times where we've thought to ourselves, maybe God doesn't want us to go in January. But do we believe God's word enough to see it come true? How many hundreds of churches have heard us say we're going in January? For us not to go in January. Not necessarily a mar on us, but on the promise that God gave us.
Amen.
Do we believe God's word to be true? Do we believe it? When God speaks to us about something, do we believe in it enough to see it come to pass? Stand fast in the faith that we've put in Jesus Christ and in his word. So we're going to get addicted to the ministry. We need to be looking. We need to be standing fast in the faith. But then it says, quit ye like men. You know, we need to be ready to give an answer why we believe what we believe in. For instance, when the military, man, when those guys, whatever branch they are, when they go off to battle, they don't get up on the front lines with their guns and all of a sudden they look at it and say, oh, I don't know how to use this gun. Can I have something else? I need something different. I don't know how to work it. No, those guys, if they need to, that gun jams up, they can take it apart in a matter of seconds. Fix the jam, put it back together, get it working again. Why? Because they're prepared, man. They quit ye like men. They're ready. They have been trained over and over and over again on how to do these things so that when the time comes for battle, they're ready. Are we not in a greater battle? Should not we know the word of God? Give people an answer why we come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Why do we come to church during conference times and things like that? Listen. God's word tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. When the church doors are open, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Very word of God. Quit ye like men. Why do we dress the way we do? Why can't we dress like the world? Why can't we act like the world? Why can't we speak like the world? Why can't we listen to the same music they listen to? Because God's word instructs us from that. Quit ye like men. Be ready to give an answer. Why we believe what we believe in. Then in verse 13 as well, it says, be strong. Two little words, but great meaning behind them. Listen, we need people not just to know what God's word says and be ready to give an answer, but are willing to be strong and stand up for why they believe and what they believe in. As a teenage boy, I don't know if you ever heard this. It was while you were our youth director. He wasn't there. I won't hold this against him. But my friends and I were into the potato launchers, and we went overboard on them. We made golf ball launchers, all kinds of things. Well, we made a football launcher. It was the neatest thing. And So one day after school, we went home and we were launching this thing up over, if you can picture with me, our front yard. It's got our front yard, then a row of trees, and then the street on the other side. Well, we were shooting the football up over the trees and catching it on the road. We were just having a good time. We were doing this for hours on end. And it was starting to get dark, and all of a sudden, a friend of ours came flying around the block on his bike, and he said, "Man, there's cops down at the end of the road." And, you know, we didn't think anything of it. We weren't doing anything wrong. And so we said, "Oh, okay, well, I wonder what's going on." And so we just continued to do what we were doing, and it got dark. The streetlights came on. All of a sudden, these cops come out of the woods. They snuck up on us. They come out of the woods and telling us, "Get down on the ground." They got their rifles out, man. We were obedient. We got down on the ground. We didn't move. And we told them what happened. We told them, it's just a football launcher. And they said they had to confiscate it and everything like that. But, you know, the guy that was in charge, the cop that was in charge, the whole time, ever since he came out of the woods, the whole time he was there was continually taking our God's name in vain. Over and over and over again. It seemed like he couldn't say a sentence without using our God's name in vain. As young teenagers and not really know how, everything about it, we just kind of backed off, didn't really know what to do. But my dad was there, and he listened for a little while, and I don't suggest doing this, okay? But all of a sudden, he got up in the cop's face, and he pointed his finger at the cop. And he said, "You can come in here, and you can confiscate this weapon. You can take it home. You can do whatever you want. But don't come on our property and take our God's name in vain." Right. And the man stopped. Could carry on a normal conversation. But you know what it took to change the atmosphere in which he was in, which we were in? Simply one person.
Yep. That's right.
Willing to stand up.
Amen.
For why they believe and what they believe in. And it changed the atmosphere in which we were in. So you want to change the atmosphere in which you're in at work, or maybe where you're at in different areas of your life or whatever it may be? Know God's word. Quit ye like men. And then be willing to stand up for why you believe in what you believe. These things are all important as we look at it here, as we look with a whole mindset of, are we addicted to what God wants us to be addicted to? Are we looking for that opportunity? Are we standing fast in the faith that we've put in Jesus Christ and in His Word? Quit ye like men. Are you ready to give an answer why you believe what you believe in? Are you willing to stand up for it? Be strong. But I believe those things are great, but I believe the most important we find comes in verse 14. It says, "Let all your things be done with charity." So that's what the world is looking for. They're looking for people that will show the love of Christ through their life as they go out and look for the next opportunity to share with somebody the gospel. They're looking for somebody to show the love of Christ as they stand fast in the faith of God's word and of Jesus Christ. No, they're looking for somebody that will show the love of Christ through them as they get ready and prepare themselves to stand up for why they believe and what they believe in. The people are looking for the love of Christ. Let all your things be done with charity. Listen, we go out, we strive to witness it, and we strive to do the service of God, what God has for us, and get addicted to the ministry. If we don't show the love of God, the people can tell. I grew up working on a bus ministry, and you know, those kids could prick up pretty quick.
Yes, sir.
If we liked them or if we didn't.
Yeah.
They could tell if we were having a bad day. They could tell all these different things. And you know what? The world around us, they look in on us,
yes, sir,
and they can see the same thing. Are we showing the love of Christ to this lost and dying world? But I believe if we strive to do all these ministries and strive to get addicted to the ministry that God has for us, if we're not willing to show the love of Christ through us, one, I believe we become annoying. Secondly, we become as nothing. Look over with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'll show you where I get these things from. From 1 Corinthians 13, we find this as a love chapter, or know this as a love chapter. Many people have said that. But just look at verses 1 and 2. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You see, in verse 1, he says, though I speak. He wasn't saying that he could speak in the tongues of men and of angels. He said, was saying, though, or if I could speak in the tongues of men and of angels, which would be an amazing feat. He says, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, you get those instruments in an orchestra, man, they sound great on time and in tune, everything like that. Those instruments sound great. But if we were to get those instruments lined up here on the front and they just start going to town on them, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't stay here very long. Right? Why? Because it's annoying. Man, we'd be out of this building saying, man, I can't listen to that anymore. But you know, if we're trying to be addicted to the ministry and not willing to show the love of Christ, that's how the people see us.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
They don't want to hear what we have to say because we're not willing to show the love of Christ through our lives. Look at what else he says. These are amazing feats and amazing abilities. In verse 2, he says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Now, there are some people that think they're all knowledgeable, but they're not. We've all met them. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. These are amazing things. It would be neat to see somebody have enough faith where they could just remove a mountain. We travel a lot. There's a lot of mountains I wish I could just remove off the map so it would be a straight shot. It would be a lot cheaper on gas anyways. But you know what? Even if I had that ability, look at what it says. It says, and have not charity, I am nothing. You know why Christ had multitudes? Because he was constantly showing them love.
Yes, sir. That's right.
All throughout his ministry. Yep. There's been times just recently I've been looking a little bit, studying a little bit through the different things with the multitudes and different things like that with Jesus Christ. And you know, there are times where Christ simply called his 12 disciples away to separate themselves, to simply have a time of rest. They'd been out working, they'd even been healing people, and day after day, been doing all this, and he pulled them away just simply to get some rest. And then he would look up, and he'd see a multitude, and he would be moved with compassion, and he would begin ministering again. Listen, this world is looking for people not just that are addicted to the ministry, but are willing during that time where they're addicted to the ministry that they're showing the love of Christ through them. That's the most important ingredient as we get addicted to the ministry. And real quick, in closing, I'd like to give you a result of what will happen if one person in this room is willing to get addicted to what God has for them right here. It says in verse 15, it says, I beseech ye, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas. You see, it wasn't just the dad that was addicted to the ministry. It wasn't just the mom that was addicted to the ministry. It wasn't a teenager. It wasn't a child. It was one person, Stephanas. And by him getting addicted to the ministry, his entire house got addicted to the ministry as well. See, it didn't just say there, Stephanas was addicted to the ministry. The house of Stephanas was addicted to the ministry. You know, for a long time, I remember growing up in Christian school and everything, and I remember, and even recently, another parent asked me that I used to know very well, these same very questions. Why is it that so many young people go to church, they hear the word of God preached, they're in Christian schools, but yet when they graduate, it's almost like we never hear of them again. We never see them in church again. I believe, one, they have a conscious decision. They've been taught the right thing. They know, they've been in and out of church services. They know right from wrong. And they have a conscious decision to say yes to the Lord or no to the Lord. But I believe also another great influence would be in their life if a parent got addicted to the ministry. And seeing their mom or their dad addicted to what God has for them will cause them to get addicted to it as well. See, my dad, he's been on the bus ministry ever since college. But you know what? At the age of 12, I started riding the bus as well, helping out on the bus. I don't know if I would have done that had my dad not been involved. Even though people get up and they taught me over and over again to get involved and to do these things, it made a difference when my dad did it. It made a difference when my parents were involved in the church, involved in the ministry that they had, that was there for them to do. But I don't know who you all are. Just met most of you this morning. But I believe God wants us to be addicted to the ministry right here in this church. Whatever it may be. Most importantly, going out and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But are we addicted to it? Are we looking for the next opportunity to minister? Are we standing fast in the faith? Are we ready to give an answer? And are we willing to stand up for it? And are we willing to show the love of Christ as we minister here in this place? But listen, there's a reward in doing so. Your entire house. We get addicted as well. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the message of being addicted to the ministry. God, I pray that there may be a few in here. Just kind of in and out, maybe not 100% in, just kind of dabbling a little bit here and there. God, I pray that you'll put within them a desire to go all in, to get addicted to what God has for them. You may be here tonight.